The Same Old Story by Oliver Smith, Castlefields Primary School, Bridge North. The Same Old Story, Chapter 1. Bryce Carlington, an 11-year-old boy, woke up on a normal Friday morning. After making, also eating his Cheerios, he got his school uniform on and brushed his teeth. Next, he packed his bag and started walking to the school he attends, King Ground Primary. While he travelled to school, Bryce, trying not to show it, did not want to go there. He didn't want to go today as Year 6 have PE. Bryce saw PE as pointless exercises. However, he never said this to anyone, as they would bully him and say, "Totally never heard that before," in a bitter way. The reason he hated school was because he got bullied. He got called posh as he was from London and said things like bath and laugh and other things similar to that. Bryce's class had a PE timetable. Mondays were football, yes. Wednesdays were basketball, Fridays were dancing, boo. The only sport Bryce liked or thought was partially decent was football. However, he still got called insulting names such as double left-footed. Apologies if you're left-footed. It was Friday. That meant today's PE would be dancing. He disliked dancing because, one, he found it boring. Two, he was posh and got bullied for saying dancing. Bryce tried not to say dancing. However, the R came out naturally. The three people that bullied Bryce were Seth, Seb and Sam. He thought about them as the terrible trio of S's. Chapter 2. PE. Pointless exercises. Right, class, today we're doing dancing from now until break time. Get yourselves into your PE kit, Mrs. Roserith squawked. Yes, Mrs. Roserith, Bryce and everyone else replied as the word Roserith drained on for what felt like forever. Everyone was in their PE kits for 9:15 a.m. This meant 1.5 hours of dancing as break time was at 10:45 a.m. Bryce was not looking forward to this. He saw this as doing 1 hour and 30 minutes of the most monotonous thing ever, in his opinion. Bring your left leg up and your left foot onto your right knee, next head into a graceful spin, Miss Hadwick explained partway through a high-quality, satisfactory demonstration at the front of the hall. Bryce wasn't listening throughout the demonstrational steps. He saw Miss Hadwick coming near him. He knew he would have to do something or he would be yelled at, and the worst thing ever was getting told off in front of the whole class. After he had prepared himself and he'd completed a disastrous spin, following none of the instructions. The next thing Bryce knew was that he was lay flat on his back, crying with a mix of three things. 1. Laughter. 2. Embarrassment. 3. The smallest part of the mix, pain. The problem was that the first of the three things was the loudest. The reason why was because he wasn't the only person laughing. Everyone was laughing. Bryce could hear the sneers and sniggers of Seth, Seb and Sam above all the other laughing pupils. He caught a blurred view of the terrible trio of S's pointing. Despite the blurred view, because of the tears in his eyes and the ones streaking down his cheeks, he knew that it would be them three pointing. After the laughing died down, Bryce got up to apologise and for the second time slipped. This time the hall exploded with laughter. Even Miss Hadwick was laughing and her face was as red as a beetroot. After all the laughing, the pain in his ankle vanished. Finally, their 1.5 hour dancing lesson, which felt like 3 months, ended and it was break time. Chapter 3. Break time. Bully time. Ring! The break time bell went and everyone rushed outside to discuss the gossip, play tig, play sport and all kinds of things. As soon as Bryce walked on the grass, three insults dashed towards him like a speeding bullet. It's not Halloween. I'm fed up of your outfit, so take it off, Seth snarled.
Did Ickle Bracey hurt his ankle in dancing? Seb sniggered. Ickle Bracey, see if we're allowed on the grass, Sam exclaimed.
After they'd said their harmful words, they went back to their game. Tears were created in Bryce's sore, from already crying, eyes. His hairs on the back of his neck prickled. Two things kept racing through Bryce's mind. 1. It's not Halloween, so take off your outfit. 2. Ankle. Dancing. Seth and Seb's insults were the ones that really hurt him. He knew from the start that Sam's insult was harmless and weak. After he had finished sobbing, Bryce went back over to play football with most of the other boys. There were two reasons Bryce loved football. Number one, Seth, Seb and Sam didn't play, but they still bully him about it. Two, he was pretty good at it. Bryce was the third best footballer in the class. The best, Callum McWood, who's Bryce's only friend. The second best, George Fellows. Third best, Bryce Carlington. Bryce had only one friend, which was Callum. Thankfully, he was on his team because otherwise he would not get the ball. When Bryce joined in, it was 1-0. After a few minutes, it was 3-1, and Bryce's team was winning. He got one assist and one goal. When he scored, he ran round the goalkeeper, and then it was an open goal. Bryce loved being friends with Callum, as, unlike Bryce, he had multiple friends. However, Bryce was his best friend. Also, Bryce's school life would be even worse without a friend. The other team suddenly scored twice, and it was 3-3. Just before the end of break time bell went, Cal crossed it in and Bryce scored an amazing header and it was now 4-3 and everyone on his team ran over to him in jubilation. The bell went and it finished 4-3 and Bryce was delighted with his winning goal. Chapter 4. Time flies at the end of a term. It was 11:12 a.m. and Bryce was partially bothered as their break time was cut 3 minutes short, which meant he could have scored his third goal to get a hat trick. After a short while, it didn't matter too much, and now Bryce didn't mind. Today was the last day of the spring term in Kinground Primary, and then it was their two-week Easter holiday. Bryce liked Easter because he was thin, therefore he got to eat a lot of Easter chocolate. His favourite was Galaxy, and I know why. Right, class, this afternoon we're going to be Easter-themed art and craft from now until the end of the day, Mrs. Roserith explained. Yes! Everyone exclaimed with a roar of excitement, including Bryce. Silence! Mrs. Roserith yelled, or we will not be doing either, and you can all read. Everyone suddenly went as quiet as a mouse. The atmosphere was so silent you could have heard a needle hit the floor. While they were doing their arts and crafts work, they could sit wherever they wanted to. Like a flash, Bryce and Cal went to the desk where only two people could sit. To get the two-seated desk, they had to hustle, bustle and rush. After getting there, they were panting dogs for a few seconds. Another one of Bryce's skills was making chocolate. As a result of this, Bryce made two intricately designed baskets for his parents, Mark and Jill. He'd make the chocolate tonight so it would set for tomorrow. The plan was perfect, as the day after tomorrow was Easter Sunday. After making two delicately designed small baskets, flowers for his mum and footballs for his dad, he and Cal brought some equipment over. Cal was making an Easter-themed robe for his dog, Tweedle. Bryce had met Tweedle before, and he was soft as a pillow and really adorable. Bryce was making some Easter-based foil to wrap his homemade chocolate in when it was ready. Ring! The lunchtime bell went and everyone hurried out. The atmosphere as everyone hurried out sounded like a football game. Lunchtime, which was 1 hour and 20 minutes, felt like 30 seconds. However, it was not 30 seconds, as 13 goals were scored in their lunchtime football match. The score was 8-5. Obviously, Bryce and Cal's team won. It was an amazing game, because the only people on his team to score and or assist were Bryce and Cal. Cal assisting 5 and scoring 3, Bryce assisting 3 and scoring a whopping 5 goals. This was apart from Jacob Smith, a defender in their team, scored an own goal. But that really doesn't count, right? Lunchtime finished and everyone walked back into class. Bryce and Cal went back to their two-seated desk and continued with their craft work. School finished at 3 p.m, which meant they collect their bags at 2:55. It was now 2:53 p.m, and Bryce finished his foil wrap and Cal had also finished Tweedle's robe at a similar time. They showed Mrs. Roserith their work, and she very much approved. As soon as they finished their work, it was tidying time before they collected their bags. Not long after that, the bell went, and in a rush, everyone hurried out to go home. Chapter 5. The Midnight Dream. Bryce arrived at home and was welcomed by his warm-hearted parents. After being welcomed, he went to the kitchen and got all the ingredients out and started making his chocolate, which would be given to his parents tomorrow. After he made the chocolate, he shaped it into Easter eggs. When he had finished shaping it, he carefully placed it in the fridge to set. Then it would be ready to be the best Easter present ever. The rest of the evening passed in a flash. After he had ate his evening meal, it was practically time for bed. Bryce fell asleep almost instantly. While Bryce was asleep, he had a dream. In this dream, there was something that made a relaxing sound that came from a gleaming gold box from under his bed. The scariest thing of all was that there was a squawking bird sound also from underneath his bed. He woke in a rush of horror and panic. His reaction was mainly created because of the bird. He did not want to check to see what was really under his bed in case the box and bird truly existed. His heart was racing and almost went through his skin in shock horror. He eventually fell asleep for the second time. That morning, when Bryce woke for the second time, he checked under the bed to see if there was what he thought. There was. Under Bryce's bed, there was a gleaming gold box and another box which contained the bird. Bryce did not take the slightest in either of the boxes because, one, it was Saturday. Hooray! Two, it was the morning and he was nowhere near thinking properly. Bryce loved Saturdays. Bryce thought that today was different as he always had random dreams on Friday nights, but then they weren't ever 100% real. Chapter 6, The Greatest Weekend. "Bryce, get ready, we're going to the shops," Bryce's dad called from downstairs. Bryce got ready quicker than lightning. He loved going to the shops with his dad because Mark always got him a treat. This time he got 3 packets of stickers and his favourite chocolate bar, Galaxy's Cookies and Cream, even though Easter was tomorrow. Bryce thanked his dad and gave him a massive squeeze. Bryce's dad cooked, yes really, a chicken burger and chips for Bryce's lunch. Today was going to be great. He'd forgotten about Seth, Seb and Sam. In fact, there were 2 things stopping this day from being perfect. One, his mum was working. 2, as much as he tried, he now couldn't take the 2 boxes off his mind. Bryce and his dad had also watched 2 movies. This was the best day this year for Bryce, as it hadn't been his birthday yet, which was on the 17th of June. After having his evening meal, which was a roast chicken dinner, yum! Once again, the rest of the day flew away. It was now bedtime, and during his amazing day, he hadn't been in low spirits for 1 second of it for the first time this year, except from when he got a duplicate in his sticker pack. It was now Easter Sunday, and before Bryce did anything, he looked inside the box for the first time. Inside it contained a superhero outfit for Bryce and the bird, a bird name tag saying Pecker, the superbird, a shield and pain-preventing gloves, a map of Norwich. Also, the other box contained the bird and a letter saying, "This bird is a super flying magic eagle. Therefore, it shall not need to be fed. It will help you in any adventure and in lots of different circumstances as long as it is wearing its outfit and name tag. It shall only answer to the word Pecker or Pecker Superbird. It has saved many people in adventures and because of saving them, they have been heroes. You surely will not want to be the odd one out and not become a hero. Anyway, good luck and treat Pecker with respect, and if it dies, you will have failed." Bryce was confused by this letter, however he thought it would be best to obey it rather than tearing it to pieces. "Happy Easter!" Bryce exclaimed while running into his parents' room. Bryce's parents bought him so much chocolate. He gave his parents the homemade chocolate, and they loved the chocolate. Later in the day, the family came round to his house to share Easter gifts with each other. The thing that Bryce enjoys the most is spending time with his family. They had an Easter spread for their evening meal and everyone loved it. However, the thing that they loved the most was the mini Easter eggs that Bryce had made with the extra mix. Bryce now had even more chocolate that would be kept in the food cupboard. After the family had departed, he went to bed with the fullest stomach ever of chocolate and absolutely nothing else. Chapter 7. An unexpected letter. Bryce woke and it was Monday, which meant that their Easter holidays had officially started. Yes! After he woke, he checked in the box and found a letter saying, "Save Norwich and defeat the unwanted roaming criminals. They are terrorising our city. As you would have guessed, our community isn't pleased, seeing as no hero has come yet. Be that hero. You have until the Easter holidays are over. The quicker you are, the more rest you shall get after. Anyway, good luck. We're on your side and Norwich is in your hands." Bryce spent all day trying to come up with a plan. Just before he went to bed, he thought of a plan. He and Pecker would get into their new outfits. Bryce would collect and pack everything needed in his favourite Luckiest backpack. His backpack had every Sheffield United player on, the football team he supports. Once he was ready, he would sneak into the night and save Norwich. Chapter 8. Things are about to get real. Bryce was preparing to execute his plan. He got changed more silently and efficiently than ever. His time limit was now 1:30 a.m. until 7:30 a.m. When he was back, he would get back into his pyjamas, he would have hid everything he used back in the box and pretend to have naturally woken up again. 5 minutes later, he and Pecker were ready and they sneaked out 1:34 a.m. exactly. Bryce was now in the gloomy, terrifying atmosphere of Norwich. He heard sirens and instantly froze. He thought to himself, why am I doing this? Bryce's body, his brain got no choice, forced him closer and closer to the sirens. For the last 20 minutes, he'd been walking to the sirens with Pecker following from right behind him. Another 50 minutes passed. He'd arrived at the sirens, which he had guessed that were created from the police. It took Bryce a little while to figure out where the criminal and the police actually were. Then he saw it. He could see the hiding criminal with a money-filled bag. He could also see the confused, disconcerted police officer searching with a torch, producing an almost blinding beam of light. Bryce's heart was pounding and almost went through his skin. He was nervous, panic-stricken and worried all at once. He could go from zero to hero, or he could be potentially killed, and his parents would lose all trust in him and would yell at him. Bryce sneaked up behind the criminal, made the loudest, most irritable scream he could. It worked perfectly. He gave the position of the criminal away, and now he'd got the criminal arrested. After doing this, he hid in the showers to prevent the officer from asking him three things. 1. Why was he here? 2. If he'd been told to be here? 3. How long he'd been here? Bryce began his walk and eventually, after a long walk, arrived at his destination. Home. Bryce was happy to be back, especially as he found a bonus. He was still in one piece. It had just turned 7 when he was back in bed and he was in his pyjamas. He had executed his plan to the highest of any ability. He fell asleep instantly and went into the deepest sleep ever. He fell asleep so quickly because his whole body ached after his 3.5 mile walk at 3 a.m. Also, he had a headache as he screamed so loudly that it was louder than a dinosaur's roar. He rewoke at 3 p.m. He'd been asleep for the past 8 hours. The rest of the day seemed to fly away from here. Before he knew it, his mum had just tucked him in again. Bryce was going to complete the same plan again tonight, tomorrow morning. Chapter 9, the second of the three adventures. Bryce awoke at 1:38 a.m. and got ready twice as fast in comparison to yesterday. He and Pecker, for the second time, sneaked into the midnight shadowiness of central Norwich. He travelled by the exact same route as the previous adventure, which was yesterday. Bryce arrived at the jewellery store once again after a long walk, which had made him exhausted. Bryce saw the same scene as yesterday, the only difference being the criminal was different. Apart from that, it was déjà vu. The searching policeman hadn't changed since his previous mission. Bryce had crept up behind the criminal and was on the brink of having made an enormous bellow. He couldn't bellow. The question was racing in his head. The question was, are these adventures real or not? Then he realised he had lost his voice at the crucial moment. He couldn't make a sound. He had felt an ice-cold shiver which had run completely through his spine. He was petrified that the criminal, who was right in front of him, would turn around and knock him to the hostile, freezing ground. He was frightened as he would have had to explain this to the police, and worst off, his parents. He thoroughly had thought that this was about to be over, until... Squawk! Squawk! Pecker squawked as if he had been through a painful event. He saw the gleaming jewels in the thief's pockets. The police had got a line of sight on the criminal and hurried over. While he came over, Bryce and Pecker had hidden in the shadows. The criminal had been thrown into the back of the police van. Also, the stolen jewels were emptied into a box which would presumably be given to the jewellery store. Mission 2 status complete. 2 criminals had been arrested, only 1 remained. Soon, Bryce would have hopefully have gotten the whole triple threat thieves, the criminal gang, arrested. His heroic aim was over the horizon. Bryce started the long trek home. He travelled back home via the same route as yesterday. Ah, he said in a relaxed tone and clambered into his bed. Then he got back to sleep. A few moments before he had fell asleep, he had taken a large bite of Easter egg and then slept. Bryce, for the second time, rewoke and it was 12 in the afternoon. As a surprise, his parents took him to the park. He had loads of fun, especially during the 1 hour football session his dad did with him. At 6:30 p.m, they headed back home and for a few hours later, Bryce had started sleeping. Chapter 10, One Final Push. Bryce, hopefully for the last time, had woken up at 1:30 a.m. for the third consecutive night. After he had woke, Bryce and Packer got ready for their final adventure. He travelled to the ever-sounding sirens in the what felt like haunted night. He arrived at the jewellery store and was shocked to see a criminal who had defeated the police officer. Bryce walked right up to the criminal. The man chuckled and said, "Who's going to stop me now? A sixth grade?" He obviously originated from America and had come to Great Britain to cause havoc. That was about to have been stopped. Bryce couldn't attack the criminal as he'd got into the bank through what was expected to have been a back entry. Bryce couldn't get him as he didn't know where the door entrance was. Then he thought, he smashed right through the wall in between them. He did this as he'd been wearing his pain-preventing gloves. Luckily for Bryce, his risk with the pain-preventing gloves had paid off. The fight had just begun. The criminal pulled out a knife. Bryce froze in shock horror. He was expecting death. However, Pecker had thought differently. The superbird swooped right over their fight and pinched the knife right out of the criminal's hand. Pecker had used his teeth. They had two weapons each. They were the same weapons, a left and a right fist. The first punch the criminal did was going right at Bryce's skull. Suddenly, Pecker had dropped Bryce's shield in front of him, which had stopped the thief's fist connecting with Bryce's face. Bryce kept missing his punches, and the criminal's punches were getting continuously closer and closer. However, it wasn't over yet, as he also kept missing. Sweat, blood and tears had all appeared on Bryce's face, and he kept letting out roars of determination. The fight went on, and neither of them could hit each other until Bryce let out one final roar of anger and triumph as his right fist knocked out the criminal. "Yes!" Bryce yelled. The yell was so loud that the police and cameramen and women all travelled to him. Everyone was cheering, and Bryce celebrated in the middle of everyone. All the people there had constantly taken pictures of him. He was Norwich's needed hero. He'd gotten the whole of Triple Threat Thieves, which was Seth, Seb and Sam's dads. He was delighted. After a few minutes, he had spotted his parents and they had come running over to him and squeezed him more than ever and whispered, "You've done us all proud." He, his parents and his new pet Pecker had set off to go back home and, quicker than normal, arrived. Bryce got into his pyjamas and took the last bite of his galaxy egg and went to sleep. Bryce enjoyed the rest of his holiday as he had spent time with his parents and Pecker. 2 days later, "Bullied boy defeats triple threat thieves." Report by Oliver Smith. Norwich criminal gang Triple Threat Thieves have all miraculously been arrested by an 11-year-old bullied boy, Bryce Carlington. It is thought that the three bullies' dads are the three men in the well-known criminal gang Triple Threat Thieves. It is thought that the three criminals were arrested one by one over 3 nights. We will keep you updated.